Good afternoon, everyone. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. We are live, as always, in the studio today, and we are so glad to be able to be here with you, and we look forward to it all week long. Do we not, Nan?
Oh, I do. Do you, Pastor?
I do. Nan is in the studio with me, and Nathan will be calling in. I think he's actually on the line. So we'll have him join us in just a few minutes, and Pastor Marcia McAllister, and we're just glad everybody's listening. It's a good thing, man. We enjoy the feedback we get from the show, and people can write us. And in fact, we've got internet up right this moment, and it would be great if people sent us a note. That would be fantastic. And that's pastor at bohmglobal.com. New email address, pastor at bohmglobal.com. Kind of cool. So we have had a great day and a busy day, Nan.
Oh, we sure have. It's been wonderful. It's been awesome. Going to our morning service was just such an anointing there, and many people's lives were affected and changed for the positive.
Yes, great day.
And then we left there and went to the nursing home.
We do that once a month, first Sunday of every month. And you've been joining us now for a long time in that nursing home ministry. How does that make you feel? How do you enjoy it?
I enjoy it. You know, it seemed like I remember hearing you tell us that the activity director, that of all the churches that go,
right,
like ours the best.
That's what she says. I mean, I don't know. Maybe she's just saying that.
It's so rewarding
to get a lot of good report.
You know, to see them praising the Lord.
Yes.
Sometimes they're limited mobility,
right,
or not even hardly able to do any kind of physical, raise the hands, clap the hands, but just the look on their face, the look in their eyes, you know, them singing along, whatever, is very rewarding, because we're carrying the gospel,
right,
to people who can't go where they can hear the gospel.
Exactly. And the fact that they receive it the way they do with, you know, that limited participation, some of them granted, but they try to sing. And I tell you, that one lady today just kind of got to me. Did she? You? I think she's a new resident there. It looks like recent stroke or something.
As I share with you, I had to leave before we did the greeting part.
Right.
When you prayed, I had to walk out because I started crying.
Right.
Her method of trying to praise the Lord was so touching to me,
right,
to see that, you know. And, you know, she was raising her little arm as best she could, and her
right,
fingers were crippled with arthritis.
Right.
And she just had her eyes closed. She looked like she'd had a stroke. And she was mouthing the words that she knew. And
right,
I tell you, I've never left out of the crying before.
Yes.
You know, it was just, it was really a very special
time today at the nursing home. So the first Sunday of every month, we do that, a little service there, and it's a joy to be able to do it. And Nathan, are you on the line with us?
Yes, I am.
Hey. It's a good day, isn't it? It's been a busy day, hasn't it? From one thing to the next, but it's such a joy, as Nan and I were just saying, to be able to minister at the nursing home. Did you enjoy that today, and did you notice that little lady that we were talking about? She was to my right.
I believe I did.
Yeah.
I haven't noticed her.
Yeah. And it's just a blessing, isn't it, to be able to give to those who don't have that opportunity to get out and go to church and be a part of a body of believers and all that.
It's wonderful. It's a joy to me. I enjoy doing it. And you can tell they receive it with joy, too.
Amen. Amen. We've been in a series here, listening audience, in the book of Ephesians, and we are actually in chapter 5 today. If you want to grab your Bible and get with us in just a few minutes, we're going to teach and talk here with Nathan and Nan on this wonderful book and how it's impacting our lives and changing our spirituality and causing us to grow closer to Him. So, but Nathan, before we do, the first song up today is a song that you wrote a few years ago. We are the body. Would you explain that and why this is so important, and really what it has to do with what we're talking about today? So why'd you write that song?
Well, the Holy Spirit was impressing on me that the body of Christ should be about doing in the world today.
Right.
You know, and I looked around. I really didn't see it happening very many places.
Right.
And so it was like an admonition to the world, you know,
yes.
to Christians in this world, what we should be about doing, you know, as the body of Christ.
Right.
Because the Bible does tell us that Jesus Christ is the head,
right.
that we are the body.
Right.
And, you know, there's not a whole lot that your head can talk and sing and teach and preach and all those kind of things, but it's your hands and your feet that,
right.
that have more action to them.
Exactly. So we need to be willing and obedient to go and do what God calls us to do. Isaiah 1:19 says, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the best of the land. And so this is very important, and we're going to hear your song that you wrote, Nathan, a few years back in probably one of our services. And we are the body. Here we go, and then we'll talk on the other side of it.
Okay.
We are the body of Christ. We are his the body of Christ. We're his hands healing, God's power revealing. We are his body, we are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are his the body of Christ. We're his feet moving, the gospel. We are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are his the body of Christ. We're his heart beating, his love repeating. We are his we are the body of Christ. The body of Christ. We are his the body of Christ. We're his voice teaching, the hurting reaching. We are his we are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are his the body of Christ. We're his hands healing, God's power revealing. We are his we are the body of Christ. We are his
praise God, that's who we are, the body of Christ, and we should be about our Father's business, doing that work, healing, bringing words of encouragement and consolation to people, comfort, peace, all of that. We are talking right now about the importance of how we walk our Christian walk on a daily basis, and we've been talking about the confidence that we have in who we are in Jesus. The book of Ephesians can be divided into three major parts. It's sit, how we sit, the confidence that we have, and then walk. And we're on that section right now, walking. How do we walk on a daily basis? And then the last one is stand. And we haven't got to that part yet. We will in a few weeks here, a couple weeks. Sit, walk, stand. And right now we're on the walk part and how we are walking and carrying out God's will in our lives on a daily basis. So if you have your Bible with us, with you, let's go to the book of Ephesians, where we have been studying now for the last few weeks, and we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 5, and it's a great passage of scripture, and very, very, it's very intense, isn't it, Nan, wouldn't you
yes.
say? There's a
oh,
lot of,
yes.
You know, behavioral stuff in here.
Yeah, you really get a check on your attitude.
Well, is this true, really?
It is.
I mean, and Paul wrote the book of Ephesians. He wrote it from jail, and he was talking to the church at Ephesus, and he was saying, here's how you need to behave. And when you talk about first, how do we sit, it's talking about the confidence that we have where we are seated. Paul says in Ephesians 1, and he says it again in Ephesians chapter 2, that we're seated with Jesus in heavenly places. That's our position. In other words, we have authority. We have authority over the things the devil throws at us. We have authority to really grab hold of the word of God and take verses and live them and walk in them. We have that authority and that right. Do you want to comment on that? And we'll get back to Nathan here in just a minute.
It serves as the example and almost really the direction,
right?
As it was for that church, as it is for us today, a direction to walk that way. And, you know, I said a while ago, I think I did, about a correction, you know,
right.
Sometimes correct, you know, and we just learn a lot from it.
Right.
You know, it's just been really awesome. It just lets you know what you need to do. It doesn't try to tell you that you're doing so wrong in certain things. It's encouraging. It's uplifting so that you can see the example set in place of how we should be living.
But there are some things that the Holy Spirit wants to correct. You use that word, and that is a good word to use because there are things in each of our lives, attitudes, behaviors, mindsets that are not falling in line with what the word says we should be thinking and the way we should be behaving. Nathan, you want to comment on that? Because I think a lot of times we grow up in maybe a church setting with our family, and we really don't understand as young adults or even as kids how to behave based on the word of God. You know what I mean?
Well, a lot of times it's not laid out to us like it is here in Ephesians 5.
Right.
I mean, he's very specific in examples.
Yes.
And in examples, I mean, anyone reading that could really relate to what he's saying.
I agree with you.
It talks about actions, you know, opposite actions usually than what we are used to performing.
Right.
You know, opposites. Because he talks about, you know, how we should love.
Right, how we should love, yes.
How we should talk to each other.
Right.
You know, how we should talk about each other.
Right, yes.
Or not.
Or not talk about each other, right?
We should have about it.
Yeah, gossip is addressed here, yes. All these things, how we should behave and the attitudes we should have.
Yeah. You know, and these things are, you know, as Christians, it just lays out the life. This is how you should live.
And then it's our responsibility, if it's laid out here for us in Scripture, how to live each day, then it's our responsibility to read it, learn it, understand it, and start applying it in our lives. Not always easy. Would you both agree it's not always easy?
Oh, that's
true.
Not always easy.
Old habit patterns, you know?
Well, the fact of the matter, it goes against our nature.
Why is that, Nathan? What do you mean by that?
Well, because we have a sin nature as a matter of fact.
Right.
We have a sin nature that we're used to.
Yes.
And that our sin nature is totally opposite of this.
Right.
It's totally opposite of what the Word would teach us, the love nature that God has.
Absolutely.
And has for us.
Right. And the sin nature wants us to have all kinds of junk going on in our lives all the time, right? Bad attitudes and bad behavior, things we say we shouldn't say. The gossip issue here is addressed. A lot of things that on a practical Christian living basis, Ephesians is a great book for how we should behave, I believe.
Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah. So
it's a great manuscript for that.
It is. Let's just dig right into Ephesians 5:1, and I'm in the Message Bible. Watch what God does. And then you do it. Boy, that's good. Watch what God does, and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents, mostly what God does is love you. Boy, that is so right on. And, I mean, Paul gets right to the point here. What God does is love you. You know, God is not one that walks around yelling and screaming at us and condemning us.
Criticizing.
Right. He doesn't.
Condemning.
And like company, keep company with him and learn a life of love. And that is a key right here, Anan and Nathan, is the keeping company with him. I think a lot of people don't learn the life of love because they spend little, if any, time with God separate from a service or a TV show they might tune into or whatever.
Yeah, I was just going to say along that lines, you know, some people just think, well, I go to church Sunday morning. Right. I even take in Sunday school on Sunday morning and a morning service. And if they might go to a church, it has a Sunday evening service.
Right.
So they go then. Wednesday night Bible study, they go there. They think that's enough. That's not enough.
Right.
That's the tip of an iceberg.
Right.
I mean, to do such a comparison. It's what we learn when we're spending our quiet time waiting on God, communing with God, communicating with God, Him communicating with us. That's when we really, Lord, I mean, going to services are great.
Absolutely.
You need to do that. I mean, you don't, you know, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together.
Right.
As is
go
the custom of some people. So you need to go. But that can kind of like jumpstart.
Right.
You know, like reading in Ephesians, it can kind of jumpstart where when you, you know, in your personal private time with the Lord, that you expound and you just almost eat the word.
Right, exactly.
You know, so just to be there, you know, and be there and listen to God and let Him teach you through that.
Right. But it's a matter of taking the principles of the Word of God and letting them so fill your life that you desire to spend time with God and listen to His voice. And Nathan, I feel like a lot of people have issues with that. They just don't take time or make time in their lives for God to that extent.
A lot of people don't understand God.
Right. Right.
Their understanding of God is related to their, they relate to God the same way that they relate to other people, or other people relate to them.
Right.
You know, and our understanding of God sometimes is thwarted.
Yes.
You know, it's distorted because maybe a minister in our lives, or our father in our lives, or something like that, you know, because of that distorted relationship, we have a distorted relationship with God.
Right.
So we don't trust God. We don't
exactly.
You know, we don't really love God.
I agree with you. I think a lot of people have trouble with that, Nathan, even acknowledging that much love for God, because, you know, it's hard to love what you don't know, you know?
Exactly.
And if you're not spending time with God, because what Paul says here, keep company with Him, that means God, and learn a life of love. And it's not something that necessarily just comes easy. You know, it's something that we have to learn to battle the old ways of thinking, the old mindsets, the old attitudes. We've got to learn to let God's love so live in us that those attitudes are exposed for what they are, the yucky stuff. Paul goes on to say here, observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of Himself to us. Love like that. Talk to me about that, Nathan. I mean, basing our love on how Christ loved us.
Well, you know, Christ was a good example and a hard example.
Good one and a hard one? Okay.
And a hard one.
All right.
Because the fact of the matter is, in order for us to love like Christ loved, we have to be willing to die.
Yes. Ooh, good point, brother.
To die for someone
yes.
who didn't deserve it.
Right.
To die for someone who probably wouldn't even appreciate it.
Right.
You know, that's the kind of love that Christ had.
Extravagant love.
Extravagant. I mean, abundant, extravagant. Extravagant to me means like over the top.
Right, exactly. It does,
over the top kind of love.
Right.
You know, that. And it's hard for us to do that. It's hard for us to love someone else. It's hard for us to love ourselves that way.
Oh, amen. I think that's a big part of what a lot of people struggle with, Nathan and Nan, is that they have a problem loving themselves or accepting who they are. And the way God made them. And so it's hard for them to reach out and love others because they struggle with that self-concept and that loving themselves. Nan, want to comment on that?
Well, it's just really hard. I mean, say some people had less than positive father figure in their
life. Right. Nathan mentioned that a minute ago.
Yes,
that's a good point. That's
yes,
a good
he
point.
Did. And, you know, I am fortunate that My father is a a very positive role model.
Right.
And so I'm blessed. I'm right. blessed. But some people are not that blessed.
Exactly.
And the relationship, how their earthly father relates to them,
right.
it distorts for them the way a loving father is. So they can't really believe many
right.
times what is being said to them as much as how your heavenly father loves you this much.
Right.
They can't relate to that because
exactly.
they have not had any kind of male figure in their life to do that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's very common in our society and in the world these days that the male figure sometimes, and sometimes the female figure
right.
too, the mother too, can be so unloving and so unreachable or, you know, just, and that causes perception here of people to feel that how can God love them if their own mother and father can't love them, you know?
Well, and I think you guys already mentioned also about loving yourself.
Right.
You know, and all kind of insecurities can come into play there.
Right.
You know, of what they were told maybe by their mother and their father as
sure.
they grew up. You're not going to amount to anything. You're
oh,
stupid.
Put downs.
Look
Absolutely.
At the grade that you got.
Yes.
You're terrible.
Right.
You don't do good. Whatever that they would have said.
Exactly.
Or behaved.
Right.
You know, it's just they many times, you know, we've seen it. You've seen it. I've seen it.
They, oh, yeah.
they just have difficulties loving themselves. If they can't even love themselves, they certainly don't think some God is going to love them.
Oh, absolutely. And so we have to, here's where it's so important to spend time in the Word of God, okay? And to be a part of a local assembly where you do see loving people ministering to others and caring about their needs and so forth. But in particular, people that generate the love of God in, we each need people. This is my point. Let me get to it. We each need people in our lives that are going to show us God, you know, not necessarily easy to find people in your life that are going to point you to God and show God's love, but that's what we each need. We need that role model of God's love. Nathan, comment on that, if you will.
Well, sad to say, it's very much lacking in our world today.
Right.
There are not enough. I mean, even prominent people, people that we see on TV and hear on the radio, you know, a lot of these people don't really have the love of God.
Right.
Or the God kind of love that we need to see demonstrated.
Right.
And so, basically, it needs to start with you.
It does.
You know,
yes. Exactly.
You know, like those. I like the one the scripture says, "Hang out with God, hang out with Him, keep company with Him,
right.
and learn a life of love."
That's right.
I mean, when you really can let down your guard and let God fill yourself with Himself.
Ooh, yes.
Then you can really experience that kind of love. But we have so many guards and so many fences and so many walls. And
we
so
do
many things
mm-hmm.
against God, basically, because we have so much against people. But, you know, when people say, "I love you," we wonder what their motive is.
Exactly. That's true, Nathan. That is true. And so often, it isn't a good motive, maybe, perhaps. But it's not always true. But, yes, yeah. you're right. And so,
what do you want from me?
Right. Right.
You know? And so when we hear that God loves us, we have the same thought. But what does He want from me? What does God want from me?
Well, the truth is everything.
Yeah.
He wants total surrender, you know, but yes.
That's a hard thing, too. But
yes, it is.
I mean, if anyone that really doesn't know the nature of God, when they hear that God wants everything from them.
Oh, yeah, they struggle.
Frightening thought.
Right, frightening, right.
A frightening thought. It's like, what?
Right.
What?
But the truth know? Is, the more we surrender to God's plan and His purpose for our lives, the better our lives are going to be. And yeah. the more we're going to learn how very much He loves us. He's not in the job of putting us down and doing bad things to us. And,
no.
and so many people really believe that God brings bad things into their lives, and that's yeah. not the case. Circumstances, life, etc.
Well, God judges us with sickness, and
He does not with
pain and strife, and that's
not true.
Well, sure He does. I mean, you know, God just brings all these things into your life to perfect you, to perfect your life.
Well, those things are allowed, yes.
You know, he brings sickness and those kind of battles in your life to help perfect you and
right.
make you a stronger, better Christian. Isn't that true?
Well, he allows that stuff to happen, yes. That, I mean, it's part of where we live in this world, that sickness, viruses, disease, it's out there, you know?
Yeah.
It's out there. But God does not say, oh, okay, because Nan's got a stinking rotten attitude today, I'm going to put this disease on her, you know? That's
right.
not a loving Heavenly Father, and that is not what he does. It's in our genetic makeup. It's in viruses. It's in diseases we come into contact with. It's in contagious diseases. All these things happen. And God does turn these things for good. Right, Nathan?
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
But he's not sitting up in heaven deciding who he's going to put cancer on, you know?
No, he doesn't have any cancer in heaven.
He does not. So he's not going to do that. But your point is well taken. Problems are there to train us and to teach us and to cause us to rely more on God and cause us to realize that the devil is the one. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes, that's the devil, to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came to give it life and give it abundantly. We got to get our mindset changed here, Nan. Talk to me about this because we can go down that rabbit trail of thinking God's mad at us, and so now I have this problem or that problem.
Well, I'm reminded several different times over the past several years that my back would go out to such a point that I couldn't go to work because I couldn't sit up. And during that time, as I'm laying there in bed, which is the only position I could kind of be in that helped relieve a little bit, heat and pain, all that kind of stuff, I spent a lot of time thinking about God because there was really nothing else, you know.
Right.
I hate to say nothing else happening, but, you know, it gave a time.
If you're in pain, you're in pain.
You know, I stopped, you know, and just spent time, you know, dwelling and pondering on him and things about him, you know. So
exactly.
There was good time that came out of that.
Sure.
That, you know, it gave me some quiet time with the Lord. That maybe I wasn't really taking as I should have been. Okay,
right.
So laying there in bed, not able to do anything, gave me time to do that.
Well, Paul says right here, spend time with him. Spend time with him. And then you're going to learn to live a certain way. Look at verse 3 of Ephesians 5. Don't allow love to turn into lust, setting off a downhill slide into sexual promiscuity, filthy practices, or bullying greed. And I'll tell you what, people can really, a relationship can turn very quickly if somebody is an abuser. We talked about that last week on the air. You might want to check that out, that show. Right at the end, God was giving us some words for some people who were victims of physical and mental abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, relationships can turn if people are not really trying to follow God's way and his plan and walk in love. It can turn into all of this stuff that is just mentioned right here in Ephesians 5:3. It can turn into, it's a downhill slide, it says, into ugly stuff, like abuse, like violence, like lust, etc. It's so easy for that kind of thing to happen to people when they are not centered and grounded in the Word and wanting to be what God wants them to be. Nathan, you want to comment on any of that? Because this is reality. This happens in people's lives.
Well, humanity.
Exactly.
Human love often has motives.
Right.
It's often, you know, there's something that, you know, if you act this way or you treat me this way, or if you spend this much money on me,
right, exactly,
you know, then I love you,
right,
you know, if, you know, if you give yourself to me, then I love you,
right,
you know,
right.
But God loves us regardless,
right, and so
that kind of love is totally different. I mean, it's not loving us to get from us,
right,
but loving us to give us all that he is.
Absolutely. And God is not, interestingly enough, God the creator of the universe, God Almighty, our healer, our provider, he is not a control freak.
No, he's not.
He wants us to willingly spend time with him, and he gives us a free will. Comment on that, Nan, because he gives us the ability to make our own decisions, make our own mistakes, and et cetera. He is not a control freak, although he wants us to surrender. It's almost like a interest. It's an interesting parallel. He wants us to surrender to his plan and will for our lives, but yet he wants us to make our own decisions about that.
Well, I think it's pretty cool that he allows us to have our own will.
Right.
You know, and, you know, some people wonder why other people don't serve the Lord, and but God loves them, and God, but you know, God's not going to, they always say, we used to say he's a perfect gentleman.
Right.
He will not step past that line of your will.
Yes.
You know, and people get really messed up when they don't follow the Lord.
Right.
But that's by their own choice. They put themselves in positions to have stuff happen to them by their, it's by their choice.
By their choice.
It's not God. It's by their choice.
Right. And do bad things happen to good people? Sure.
Absolutely.
You know, life happens, and
yes.
But we have got to learn to love like God loves, and not just have the love factor be a momentary, you know, physical attraction type thing. It's more to it than that. Nathan, did you want to comment on this? All this yuck in Ephesians 5:3 about how it can turn into, you know?
Well, I believe that we get in trouble. See, God has a will for our life. He has a will and a plan for our lives.
Yes.
And he doesn't step over our will. He doesn't go against our will.
Right.
He allows us to choose.
Right.
He gives us a choice. We have a choice about everything in life.
Right.
That God gives us. Now, there are consequences to every choice.
Right.
Now, some of these consequences are really, really bad consequences because they put us right in the path of the devil.
Right. Exactly. Yes.
To kill, to steal, or to destroy. You know, and we not knowing this, a lot of people don't know this. They don't know that Satan is there to steal, to kill, and to destroy.
Right.
They don't know that, so they just choose without that knowledge. So therefore, they make these choices, and these consequences come with these choices.
Exactly.
And so, you know, God gives us good consequences if we choose to follow his will and his plan for our life. And the devil gives us his consequences if we choose not to follow God's will.
Right, exactly.
When we're not in the will of God, we're in darkness. We're lost.
Absolutely.
And we become subject to being beaten up by the devil.
Right, we do. And a lot of times I believe, and that is tremendous insight, a lot of times I believe it's because we go down this path. He says it's like a downhill slide into things here. There are times that we just, it's become so, people become so self-centered. It's all about them. It's all about are my needs met? Is this the best thing for me? And how can I manipulate circumstances to get my way?
To get my way.
You know, and people are manipulators by nature. That's human nature. We are naturally, look at a little child, little kids, little tiny kids will try their best to manipulate and cause the parents to do what they want when they want it done.
Yes.
You know, we're all three of us are parents and grandparents. You and I, Nathan and Nan's not.
I'm not
quite
as old as you guys are, therefore I don't have any grandchildren.
Well, Nan's you're close, Nan. You're really darn close. Let me tell you. So I wouldn't be like,
we're getting closer by the day, from what I could observe out of the situation too. Let me tell you.
Right, with your son.
Yes.
Right. Okay. So what's going to happen to you? And you're going to see close up and personal again these the manipulative tricks of little children.
Because all children,
they do.
You don't have to teach a baby.
No, you don't.
Or a toddler to do wrong.
Right, it comes natural.
You don't have to teach them to manipulate. You don't have to teach them that.
You're right, Nathan. You and I having all our grandkids, we see this, don't we?
No, we don't. Because they just seem to know how to do it naturally.
Right. Yes, they do.
You know,
that's human nature.
It's human nature. Human nature. To get what I want when I want it the way I want it.
Absolutely. And Paul says when you get into a relationship with someone and that love, what you initially thought was love, this is Ephesians 5:3, turns into all about you and all about that bullying greed. I love that, that in the last end of that sentence in the Message Bible, can turn into bullying greed where it doesn't have to be money. It can be my way or the highway type attitude. It can be abuse, verbal abuse. It can be control to such an extent that your spouse or partner or wife or husband or whatever is so under your thumb that they can't think for themselves or do what they really want to do. It's sick. It really is.
Yes. Well, and bullying abuse.
Bullying, yes.
Bullying abuse. It's just, I mean, a bully.
Right.
Nobody wants to be bullied.
Right.
And nobody, you know, I don't want to be a bully either.
Right. Exactly.
But I mean, there's several. I mean, people don't realize that words can hurt.
Well, that's just words, absolutely right.
Words can be a bullying situation as well as physical.
Exactly.
Words can hurt deeper sometimes than the physical.
Well, and that goes right into the next sentence here in Ephesians 5, about verse 3, where it says, though some tongues just love the taste of gossip, those who follow Jesus have better uses for language than that.
Uh-huh.
Oh, boy, does that not hit everybody. Nan, talk about this, because this is a common problem in churches, in homes, in workplaces, in families, in friends, it is, don't you think?
Hey, gossip just runs like a wildfire.
It does.
You know?
It does.
And I just thought of a situation at work where a Christian friend of mine was telling me what she'd heard about so-and-so, going to come back, not going to come back, going to retire, and there's just been a big squabble over there. But the words that woman used towards her has caused her problems now.
Okay.
Our words can either heal or our words can hurt.
Exactly.
And I was just reminded, I had a guy, I think his name was Chris, back in eighth grade, so I'm 29. So
yeah. No, you're not 29.
I'm learning from Pastor Dave.
Yeah.
I'm 51 now.
Okay.
And that was back when I was probably, 12, 13, 14,
okay,
something like that. Do you know what? Those words still come to mind now.
Seriously.
Because it was so hurtful.
Wow.
What was said to me. And it really hurt my feelings, and it really hurt me deep, and really caused me a lot of problems.
Whoa.
But yet, it doesn't really now, but I mean, you can remember them. You know, when we walk away from someone, how do we want them to remember how we interacted with them? That we gave them positive, uplifting words?
Right.
Or that we spoke just negativity? Or gossiped about something that we thought was going on somewhere in the family or in the church. The scripture, as you read it, I'm in King James, but as you read it, it said gossip. And, you know, that's a very destroying kind of, it runs
absolutely
like fire.
Oh,
it runs
it
like
so
fire,
does.
And it just caused so many
Again,
problems.
Again, a trick of the devil that
right
he uses to upset us. I mean, he so steals our joy.
Oh, yeah.
When we are gossiping or we're the victim of it, don't you think, Nathan?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
It just gets us all disrupted and all, let's see, what's that word? Discombobulated. Don't know how you spell that one. But
it brings chaos to your
brain. It brings chaos to your brain.
Mm-hmm. I just thought.
Because you'll be wondering, why are they saying that about me?
Right.
You know, what's going on? I mean, what did I do? What did I, you know, I mean, that's the first question that you ask yourself. What did I do?
Yep.
To cause them to say that about me.
And then resentment, unforgiveness begins to build. And if it's not settled quickly, Nan, you and I did a little skit today at the nursing home right off the top of our heads, didn't we? We didn't plan that. But tell them about what we were doing at the nursing home there in the ministry.
Well, I was sitting there with my arms crossed. And so you started with, Nan, what's wrong? You know, your arms are crossed. And I denied that there was anything wrong. And then after a while of your just loving persistence and, questioning because you were concerned about me, I told you that somebody had told me what I think what you had said about me, and it really upset me.
Right.
You know, and
keep in mind, audience, we were play acting the nursing home, but still, it bears the point right here.
And you asked me to forgive you.
Uh-huh.
And you hadn't done anything wrong in this skit. It was just what someone had told me, whatever I thought.
Gossip.
And you were just taking the high road and saying, well, please forgive me for whatever you think I've said or whatever. And at first I wouldn't.
Right.
And there again, we're just playing a skit, guys. And I wouldn't, but then finally, I did.
Right.
And then made reference to the joy that I had
right.
in the handling of that.
Right.
And that's really the way that you're supposed to handle things seriously. If things are happening, you've heard someone's upset at you, whatever, you can sense it. You can sense
right.
it. Many times you can sense
sure
it.
Sure you can.
Take the high road and just go to them and try to talk to them.
Absolutely.
That's what the Bible says to them.
Absolutely.
You know?
And if people are gossiping, then that is a good way to stop it, too. Say, hey,
right.
I know this is being said, and I just wanted you to hear from me the truth or, whatever. Whoa. We'll come back and talk.
I'll say, let's just make this a matter of prayer.
Right. Right.
You and me agree together that this stops here, it doesn't go no further, that no harm will come from it.
Good point.
That God will get the glory.
Amen. And, because gossip needs to be stopped in its tracks. And, oh, boy, we got more we can talk about this in a minute. We're going to play this song right now that I love, Casting Crowns song, Praise You in the Storm, because we need to praise God. In the midst of these hard living, we're talking about walking, daily walking with the Lord. It's not easy. We got to learn to praise him in the midst of the storm, whether it's somebody talking about you or whether you're having all kinds of chaos in your life. Praise him in the storm. Listen to this song. You're going to love it.
I was sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. Almost gone. How can I carry on if I can't find you? But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away.
Praise God. I love that. We got to learn to praise God in the midst of the storm. It may be that you're going through a difficult time right now, dear listener. It could be that people are talking about you. It could be that you're under a lot of stress or just the victim of somebody just treating you awful. And then maybe you feel like you're in the midst of a storm. Right now, we learn to praise Him in the storm. In fact, it even says this over in verse 18 through 20 in Ephesians 5. If you have your Bible with you, we are talking about how do we walk in the midst of things. And it first talks about drinking too much, but let's go into the second line and we can talk about that another day. Sing hymns instead of drinking songs. I love that. Sing songs from your heart to God. Sing praises over everything. Any excuse for a song to God the Father in the name of our Master Jesus Christ. In other words, this is one of the keys to how we walk in difficult situations that happen, Nan, because there's going to be times that we are not treated correctly, where people talk about us, where we have failed somebody and we have been the one who was the gossiper, or we have been the one who was the troublemaker, and we maybe we're hurting. Maybe somebody confronts us. Somebody says things to us that cause us to realize our attitude, and we get all depressed and discouraged and defeated over our own failure or the failure of someone else. We've got to, as this song just said, we got to learn to sing praises in the midst of the storm. Talk to me about that, and then we'll get to Nathan.
I think probably on occasions when I've handled something inappropriately,
right?
I have a tendency, as I'm sure most people do, to really beat myself up over it.
There you go.
I have always told, you know, I'm a real perfectionist when it comes to my job.
Right.
And for one thing, I think we're supposed to be a living example
to
those people that we work with. And they know you're a Christian. You really better be living the life like you're a Christian.
Right.
But so I try to do things just everything perfect. But there's sometimes they're not. And I've always, you know, I've always said within myself that my supervisor, I beat myself up more than any supervisor ever has. And I haven't gone through my career making all these big problems all over the place. But, you know, as I had a situation a couple weeks ago, just a couple things that, you know, it was very frustrating for me.
And then you get down on yourself.
Then I get down on myself.
And you don't want to praise God when you're down, discouraged, defeated. You don't want to do that. But the word says right here, that's when you got to do it.
During that last song,
yeah,
I wrote a poem and two verses about praising.
Well, why don't you read it? And then we'll get to Nathan here. Okay. Yes, go right ahead. Nan is our resident poem writer.
Poem. I will praise you right now. I believe you'll give the power. God, I don't understand what's going on, but you say you will make me strong. Father, I praise you with all my heart. Help me while this new thing I start. You say I can have a change of mindset. I will make it. I believe I'm set. Hallelujah.
Whoa. Amen. Amen. And it does change your mind. The praise comes in. Nathan, talk to us about this, because you and I just absolutely adore, love praise and worship, and we've been working together for so many years now, and I just love the way we flow together in singing and you playing the keyboard and just how God uses that, you know, and how it changes our attitudes.
Today, you know, was amazing. Today
wasn't
was amazing.
It? Oh.
I just brought the songs. It was like, wow, you know. Yeah, because if you ever wanted be lifted out of despair, if you ever want to be lifted out of a deep, dark place, just start praising God.
Amen, brother.
Start praising God, because He comes and fills that deep, dark place with His presence.
Yes.
His presence, He brings gifts with Him. He brings love with Him.
Yes.
And when you start feeling that love, you're lifted.
Right. Amen.
You're lifted out of that dark despair. You're lifted out of that desert place to a place in the heavenlies with Him.
Right.
And it's total. I mean, if I've learned one thing in this life, I've learned to really praise God.
Amen.
When I'm feeling down.
Right.
Just start praising Him. And, you know, and the only reason why I wouldn't praise Him if I wanted to wallow in my self-pity for a while.
Exactly. You know? Yes.
I'm not a person that likes to do that, so I start praising God.
Right.
And he lifts me. He lifts me
yes.
out of that place.
Right. Amen.
Oh, he does.
Oh, I know. I agree with you.
I love praise and worship.
I do, too.
I really love it.
I do, too.
I love it.
It does. You can walk in and be discouraged, defeated, whatever, not feel good, and then you start worshiping God, and everything changes. Nan wants to comment on that.
Yeah, I want to say about praising the Lord. I mean, it was so cool that in this morning service, you know, Nathan wrote a song right there. In praise and worship, and I told him I did have my tape recorder.
Yes,
so
good.
I taped it,
good.
Provided the keyboard's not overpowering of the voice. You know, we'll be able to get those words. You know, for him to
it's all about peace.
It was all about peace.
So when it comes to this daily walk, Nan and Nathan, we acknowledge it's tough. It's hard. The devil's going to throw things at you, and there's going to be times you feel like you're in the midst of the storm, like that song we just heard. But we've got to learn to praise him in the storm and not get bitter and resentful and mean and bad attitude. We got to learn to keep our attitudes in check. It's something that as we walk, we've got to learn. And, you know, everything about our mouth here in Ephesians 5:3-4. Read it in your King James, Nan. Let's hear it in the King James, Ephesians 5:3-4.
But fornication and uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks.
Right.
Giving of thanks.
Giving of thanks. In other words, watch what you say, watch your attitude. In the Message Bible, it says here, don't talk dirty or silly. That kind of talk doesn't fit our style. And then the line that I think is amazing is Thanksgiving is our dialect. Talk to me about that, Nathan. Thanksgiving is our dialect. We got to watch what we say, and we got to change it, you know?
One thing that I've learned, that I'm learning, and I'm not saying this from a spirit of pride.
Okay.
I'm trying to say this as humble as I can, but the storm, when you learn to praise God during the storm, you're building muscle.
There you go.
You're building your spiritual muscle.
Good point.
And you're able to stand up against the storm. You're able to stand in spite of the storm.
Right.
You know, and you're not knocked down by it. You're not tore up by it. And, I mean, as you learn to praise God in difficult situations, you're building spiritual muscle. You're building,
right.
you're edifying yourself.
Right.
You're building yourself up. As a Christian, as a servant of God, as a child of God, you're building yourself up.
Absolutely.
You know, the more we praise him, in difficult times, the stronger we become.
Exactly. And it takes discipline, doesn't it?
Oh, it takes discipline. It does take discipline because it's so much easier just to wallow in self-pity.
Oh.
It's so much. I mean, that's another thing. You don't have to. You don't have to teach a baby. You don't have to teach a toddler. You know, it comes to them natural.
Right. Yeah, it does. To feel sorry for themselves. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and you don't have to teach us how to feel sorry for ourselves either.
Oh no, we're good at that, aren't we? Yeah, we are. We are good about that, and that's bad.
More natural for me to praise God in difficult situations.
Yes,
it's becoming more natural for me to do
Amen.
That.
Amen.
I praise God for it. I mean, it's a, you know, when I look at myself and I can see that I'm getting stronger and stronger and stronger in my walk with him.
Amen.
And in my example of him.
Yes.
You know, in difficult times, you know, it just blesses me.
Oh.
It just makes me rejoice.
Amen. We are going to go on with this. Are you going to stay on with this, Nathan?
Yes, I will.
Okay. We're going to go on with this discussion in a couple minutes. I want to just tell you that if you are right now in front of your computer and you want to comment or ask a question or you just want to say, hey, pastor@bohmglobal.com. We've got the computer up here in front of Nan. So you can comment. If you want to ask Nathan or Nan a specific question, you can do that. or me, BOHM Global. So it's pastor at BOHM, which stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries, global.com. Pastor at BOHMglobal.com. There we go. I'll get it right here in a minute. If you're in our Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to join us for a service. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. That's www.beaconofhopeministries.com. Find out where we're located on Almerton Road. And service time Sunday at 10:30 and Wednesday night Bible study at 7. Great times in the Word. And I tell you, every service, Nan, I look forward to. It's just exciting and fun. And we never know what the Holy Spirit's going to do.
Going to church, being there, that's my life.
Yeah.
That's my life. You know, I mean, I do other things.
Sure.
A family and job and things. That's my life.
Yeah.
And because I'm learning and I want to continue learning, that the family that's there, the Christian family that's
right.
there is... They're my family. I have family, good, you know, family, physical, right. other mom, dad, brother, cousin, I mean, brother, you know, son. But
right.
that's my family.
Right.
That is my life.
Exactly.
And, you know, interesting the way Satan sometimes try to come at you because it's like, you spend too much time. You travel, you know, 30 minutes to get there. I go 25 miles to get to church, you know, and you're wasting gas. And you always little tactics that he'll attempt to use.
Because he doesn't want you coming to church and getting strengthened. No. So we invite you, thanks for mentioning that, we invite you to join us Sunday morning at 10:30 and Wednesday night at 7 for Bible study. We have a prayer meeting prior to Bible study every Wednesday night, which is always great, and we enjoy it. So get acquainted with our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. We'll be right back. Station ID.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
All right. Welcome back to Beacon of Hope Ministries radio show, live every Sunday at this time, Living the Good Life. And I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister here today with Nan and with Nathan, and we're enjoying the Word of God. And in Ephesians 5, we got somebody just wrote in on the internet. Is there something you wanted to say about that, Nan?
Well, it was a... Do you want me to say?
I don't know because I can't read it
okay.
from here.
It's about a race that, a physical race that someone ran yesterday.
Okay, all right.
Betty,
okay. Mm-hmm. Betty ran a race yesterday?
Betty ran a race.
Betty, did you run a race?
Betty,
she's one of our radio team. Go ahead.
Yesterday during the run of my life in the marathon, the enemy tried to hold me in fear that I could not finish the race. As I beat myself up saying, what a failure I was, I turned on my music and praise songs came on, and I lifted and they lifted me out of my funk, and I ran, not jogged. I ran across the finish line, giving him the glory, forgetting how much pain I was in. He gave me the strength to finish and finish strong. Praise him in all things, even in difficult times.
Oh,
love you guys.
Praise God. Isn't that cool?
Relate that to our spiritual lives. You know?
Yes, that's absolutely.
Thank you, Betty.
Yeah. That is a great, great testimony of God's strength. Let's listen to this wonderful song here before we go on talking about today's discussion, which we are in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. If you would like to join us, find it in the New Testament, Ephesians 5, and we will get back to our discussion in a moment. And this one is entitled, Praise is What I Do, by William Murphy. Praise is What I Do.
Come on, songs. Goes like this.
Praise is what I do when I wanna be close to you. I lift my hands in praise.
Oh,
praise is what I am.
Let's declare it, church.
I will praise you while I can.
Church through the good and the bad, I'll praise you, whether happy or sad,
you owe him. Give him what you owe him. Give him what you owe him, church. Yeah. Come on. Praise is what I do. Even when I'm going through. Even when I'm going. See, I finally learned, church.
I've learned to worship.
Doesn't even stand a chance. Cause my praise
outweighs
the best. So I bow to praise. I need somebody to wave your hands and declare.
Praise God, we're having church up in here. Let me tell you, praise is what I do. Wow, we are going to go to Psalm 63 for a minute. It's been on my heart this morning. Now I know why. And David wrote this psalm, and it's very good. He was in the desert of Judah, and he was running from King Saul. And David, in the midst of a very difficult situation, because we're talking today about our daily walk with the Lord on Living the Good Life. We're talking about walking. And the fact is, a lot of us fall down when we're walking, and we get discouraged and depressed and defeated, and we get sick and we get tired and we get sick and tired of being tired. And we are just like in a place of, you know that place? Can y'all relate to that?
Yeah.
Can you relate to that, Nan?
Yes.
You know? And David had to be going through a very difficult time. He was being chased by King Saul. King Saul tried to kill him 21 times through those years. I mean, that's a lot of being chased and somebody trying to kill you. Pretty bad. And here is David's response in Psalm 63. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. That's what we got to get, people. If we're going to have an effective walk with the Lord on a daily basis, we got to be like David here and seek God, and our soul needs to thirst for God. And he goes on to say, my body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I am in verse 2 of Psalm 63, if you just joined us. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Boy, did we see him this morning in our sanctuary, Beacon of Hope, and behold his power and his glory.
Mm-mm.
Verse 3, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. It says in the NASB, my lips will praise you because your love is better than life. In other words, the love that God has for us has to become so important that the junk that the enemy and people throw at us and life throws at us has got to take a back seat to how much God loves us. And because we realize how much God loves us, we just naturally want to praise him. Woo! Let's read on, and then I'll get you both to comment here. Verse 4 of Psalm 63. I will praise you as long as I live. I love that. David's drawing a line in the sand. I will praise you. Does it say here, I'll praise you when I feel like it?
No.
It does not?
No.
I'll praise you when it's convenient for me to do so. Does it say that? I'll praise you when I'm just in church so everybody knows that I'm a praising Christian. I'll just praise when people are watching me. Is that what it says here?
Not in my version of the Bible.
No, it doesn't. It says, I praise you as long as I live, and in your name I lift up my hands. In other words, it is not a choice. I choose to do this. I lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied. As with the richest of foods, with singing lips, my mouth will praise you. Oh, my, Nathan, talk to me about this. This is when David is going through a huge trauma. By the way, I wasn't taking the show this direction. God's doing this for somebody out there. This is going a different direction than we had planned. Nathan, talk to me about this and what happens in our lives when we absolutely surrender to God's plan and begin to praise him, even though we may not feel like it.
Well, the fact of the matter is, once you allow God to fill you with his joy, you can't help but praise him.
Amen.
You can't help it. I mean, it's just going to come out of your mouth.
Right.
Because once you just overflow. It just fills to the top and then comes over the brim. It's like, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God.
And you find yourself saying praise God at times when maybe you're in a secular situation. I said it the other day in front of a client. And I, you know, it just came out of me, you know. And I said, oh, praise God, that report came back okay. Oh, okay. All righty then. But you know what? It is praise God that the report came back okay. You know?
Sure.
But it's got to become a part of us.
There are situations that I find myself in where I'm surrounded by the secular world.
Right.
And praise God comes out of my mouth.
Right.
And all of a sudden, praise God comes out of some of the other people's mouths, too. It's like people are reminded. That's what they're here for. That's what God created us for.
Amen, brother.
That's what God created us for, to praise him, to have fellowship with him, to love on him. He created us to love on us.
Exactly. And we got to.
Wonderful.
It is wonderful, Nathan.
It's
we got to get
wonderful.
To a place where it becomes so natural, a part of us. So what if a praise God comes out of your mouth? Better than a curse word, mm-hmm. better than something like that, because in Ephesians 5, we're talking about learning to control our mouths. Better have our attention drawn to God's great, awesome power. Nan, talk about this, because I'm going to get you I'm fired up here. You know it.
I know you
and
are.
And Nan's kind of, she needs more chocolate or another Coke here.
I know,
she's kind of
having it. What I'm sensing is there may be at least one person, and
okay.
it may be live or it may be on the radio show later on a website, who is saying very specifically, you do not know what I'm going through.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And I want to share just four things that may relate with them, and I normally don't go around sharing all of this, but I really feel led I needed to do
okay.
that. Number one, yes, I went through a divorce. It was a divorce from hell. It was really, really bad. During that, though, my faith increased because I praised God through that. I leaned
wow.
to him for direction,
Amen.
And he directed me.
Amen.
Number two, I later had allegations brought against me by my ex-husband, so I borrowed more money to pay attorney's fees to defend myself in something that was so ridiculous that the courts basically threw it out because it was so ridiculous. Now, the two parts I normally don't share is... And we're quite sure that it was him. All of a sudden, I was under the Department of Children and Families investigation.
Right.
The allegation had been that I was not taking care of my son. And if there's someone dealing with that same thing, I can relate, and I can understand how they felt, and I can understand what it's like to say, well, they let my parents take care of him, but I couldn't be alone with my own son until
wow.
they finished the investigation. I hadn't done anything wrong except
right.
continue to go on praising the Lord. But you know what? In the midst of that,
right.
God let them see the truth.
Right.
And the whole thing was just thrown out. It was just absolutely ridiculous. And then there was a time that they're very good liars, and his wife convinced them, the state's attorney's office, that I had injured her, which I didn't. And it changed hands several times with assistant state attorneys. And it basically, it was all resolved. But the four incidences, I just really want to encourage someone who may be facing some of those type of things.
Wow.
I would encourage them in the midst of it, begin to praise the Lord.
Amen.
And it's hard. It's hard when you're sitting there going, I can't see my son just by myself. I've done nothing wrong. I'm good to him. I take care of him. That's not fair.
Right.
You know, sometimes life happens and it's not fair.
Right.
But I would like to encourage them just to begin praising the Lord.
The answer is praise.
Praise. If they want any kind of text or email support, send an email in to you. I'll take it if they would like. I mean, I would be more than happy to encourage someone who goes travel a similar path as maybe I have traveled. But I want to encourage them. God is still in control.
Amen.
They need to praise the Lord
in
the midst of the trouble. That's what the songs are about today.
Right.
That's what the Bible study is about today, is praising the Lord.
Yeah. And changing how we speak about our situations. You know, instead of being so discouraged and so down and speaking negativity, we have got to change our mindset and change what we say. And as we do that, then as we begin to praise God, our attention is on how great God is.
Right, right.
And, you know, and the rest of that story that you didn't bring up, Nan, that because you and I have talked about that story different times through the years, that instead of getting prayer warriors for that last scenario that you just brought up, you enlisted praise warriors. And you had a whole group that were praising God for the victory before they saw it, which goes along with Romans 4:17, calling that thing that be not as if it were. You enlisted a whole group of praise warriors, and you won that court battle.
I won that court battle.
Absolutely. Nathan, talk to us about this great subject.
Well, the thing of it is, if you can honestly see, if you can honestly get it in your heart that We read the end of the book, and we know we win.
Amen. Good point.
If you can honestly see that, then what the natural response is to praise.
Absolutely.
The natural response is to praise.
Yes.
You can't help but praise God because we win.
We win.
We are victorious. We win.
Right.
Satan may put up a good struggle, but we win.
He's the defeated foe.
He is defeated.
But Nathan, that's exactly why the devil hates praise, because it is reminding him of his future.
Of his future.
And he does not want to be reminded that he's already defeated, that Jesus already did the work on Calvary. So we need to be praising, because it's a done deal. The New Testament, after Jesus went to the cross and rose from the dead, it's a done deal. We can be praising God because we already know, like you just said, Nathan, that we are victorious. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us.
Just the power in praise. I mean, just literally, there's so much power in praise that if people haven't reached a point that they're really doing that, I encourage them. We all encourage them. Go for it. You'd be surprised the power, the strength that you get by praising.
Just stamp your foot down, lift your hands up, and with as big as your voice can be, praise God.
Amen.
Just let it go. Because, I mean, even if you know, you're in a situation and your neighbor's yelling at you and cursing at you and calling you whatever, just look at them and look them in the face and say, well, praise God.
Amen. Amen.
They won't know what to do.
Right. No, they won't know what to do. Well, David makes it so clear in Psalm 63, because he was so beat up and persecuted by King Saul. I mean, to have somebody try to kill you 21 times, now that is a life-threatening occasion here that was going on for several years. In the Message Bible, in Psalm 63, 3 and 4, it says, or 2 to 4, it says this. So these are David's words. So here I am in the place of worship, eyes open, drinking in your strength and glory. In your generous love, I am really living at last. Wow! My lips brim praises like fountains. I bless you every time I take a breath. My arms wave like banners of praise to you. Oh my, I love that. And I love waving my arms to God when we are worshiping. I mean, I love it. I didn't grow up that way in church, but man, I love it, because it is, it's like a surrender. You know, when sure people come out with their white, you know, when the army's got you and you come out with your white handkerchief, surrender, surrender, and they'll say, hold your hands up, you know.
Yeah.
Hold your hands up, name of the law, put your hands up, whatever. Yeah. It is a surrender, and that is so cool. We are blessing God with our arms, our hands. Talk to me about this, Nathan. Ooh, this is good stuff. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
I love it, too. I love it, too. But sometimes sitting at the piano, it's hard for you to raise my hands.
Well, no, we don't want you to do that. We want you to keep on playing, brother. Just keep on keeping on.
Nathan, you can just watch everyone else raising their hands.
I love lifting my hands up to them.
But, Nathan, you know, because this is an example today because we went into the song Peace, Peace, mm-hmm. Wonderful Peace. Wasn't planned or anything. And could you hear that as we began to do that song a few times, the praises started around the room. People began to receive the praise, I mean, the peace of God.
Oh, it was like the rushing mighty wind.
It was.
The room. Yes. Oh, yes. It was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful service today.
It was.
It was wonderful how the Holy Spirit just moved on people's hearts. And moved, and you could hear it by their expression.
Oh, absolutely.
You could hear it.
You can't. You
and
could.
Like, oh, praise God, praise
And
God.
People were receiving the peace and denouncing the chaos and the junk that the devil had put on them all week long, in some cases, you know, and really taking a step. Comment on that, Nan, before we get to this next song.
I was saying that, you know, the word tells us God inhabits the praise of his people.
Yes.
And we certainly saw that was very evident in the service this morning.
Yes. Mm-hmm. As we began to praise him.
You know, you come and there's times I go in, I'm very heavy laden with something that is happening, something is disturbing or bothering
sure.
me. And I can get there, and as I just begin to, I should have already started doing it earlier before I got to church. Okay,
right,
but I didn't.
There you go. Okay.
I should have started.
All right. Correct yourself there.
But in church, then as you just begin to praise the Lord and sing the songs and close your eyes and raise your hands and praise the Lord, it just seems to, for that time, just the situation seems to diminish. Go away.
Yeah.
At that time that you're praising the Lord.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Listen to this song, and we're going to come back and talk about more. This is going to really bless you. A guy that I've listened to, we have for years, his name is Terry McCallum, wrote this song and sings it. Praise him. Great song.
Praise.
Wow. We praise you, mighty God. Hallelujah. We bless you, God. From the bottom of our hearts, we praise you today on this radio station. Lord, we just thank you because you're the great almighty God and you care about every detail of our lives. And we praise you, mighty God. And we know that we get closer to you as we praise you, as we worship you. Wow, mighty God, we love you. Lord, let this truth sink down into the hearts of the listeners, whether today live or later on our website. Let them get the truth of this and begin to apply it in their lives. Oh, I'm going to read these words again in the Message Bible and then go to you, Nathan. It's Psalm 63, 2 to 4. So here I am, this is David saying, in the place of worship, eyes open, drinking in your strength and glory. In your generous love, I am really living at last. My lips brim praises like fountains, and I bless you every time I take a breath. My arms wave like banners of praise to you. Woo, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's go on, read a couple more verses in Psalm 63 in the Message Bible. I eat my fill of prime rib and gravy. Nan, that sounds like you. Every time we go out to eat, yes, you're eating prime rib and gravy, right?
Meat and potatoes.
Meat and potato girl. I smack my lips. It's time to shout praises. If I'm sleepless at midnight, I spend the hours in grateful reflection. Because you've always stood up for me. I'm free to run and play. I hold on to you for dear life, and you hold me steady as a post. Oh, I love that. You hold me steady as a post. Talk to me, Nathan. Whoa, this did that song do something to you? We used to do that. Remember, Cricket would sing that. That in a few years back. That is a great song.
I'm just so glad that I'm not sitting at the piano because I was able to lift my hands and just really praise him.
Woo! Wasn't it great?
I lost myself for a moment.
Isn't it great? Do you remember when we did that back on Bush Boulevard?
Goodness. Oh, my goodness.
When we met.
Oh, just crazy.
I remember us doing that song. And I tell you, it just opens the floodgates of heaven for me with praise, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm from the bottom of my toes.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Praise him.
Praise God.
Worthy.
So it takes us from a place of being self-centered. We were talking in Ephesians 5 about how to walk each day with the Lord. And we so often get off, Nan, into this whole area of being all about me, what I want, my demands, why my needs aren't being met here or there, or why so-and-so didn't treat me right. And so we get into that gossip thing, and we get into all those things. When Paul says in Ephesians 5 here, the answer for this, it's like poison, so the antidote is praise.
Praise.
Sometimes people don't want to do that because they won't be able to hang on to their gossiping
attitude. They won't be able to hang on to those juicy tidbits.
That's right.
Isn't that true, though?
Sister so-and-so did? Ooh.
Sister so-and-so. We don't call each other sister so-and-so. That's a throwback to your past, girl. And come on, man. Sister so-and-so.
Well, anyway, that's how I remember it.
But you know what? You are right, because people love to hold on to the junk of the past, and especially if they've been hurt or been offended. You know, I did that series a couple of years ago, and I still love the title of it, Offense, Take It or Leave It.
Mm-hmm.
Because so often we take it and we don't leave it. We don't leave it at the cross. We don't discard it. We keep it. We keep those offenses, and they pile up. And pretty soon we got a whole book of stuff against Nan. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And maybe rightly so, actually.
It could be.
But you get.
I don't have anything against Nan.
I love you, Nathan.
Well, praise God. Nathan, you are the only one. No, I'm teasing. No, that was not nice. Forgive me. I've had to ask you today to forgive me two times now.
Yes, you did.
Out of 3 years,
you really mean it.
After 3 years, only two times. That's pretty good ratio.
Oh, that's not good. Zinger for Nan.
No, I said that is good. Only two times in 3 years.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty
all
good.
All right. Okay.
Very good. That's very good.
All right. But the point is, we get, don't we, Nathan, so wrapped up in ourselves and our injustices and our hurts and our, you know, what so-and-so said or the way they looked or they raised an eyebrow toward me.
Or so-and-so didn't hug me today.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
What's wrong?
Right.
Wonder what's wrong. You know,
people get bent out of shape about that, day. Nathan. You're right about bringing that up. The preacher didn't hug me today. I mean, they'll make a big deal out of it.
I hugged you, Nan.
I know you did. Twice. the second time when you asked my forgiveness in that skit.
That's right.
In the skit. But, you know, people do. I mean, I'm a hugger. You know,
right.
I'm a hugger. And I try to make it a point
that Nathan, you're not. My gosh. Of course, Nathan is. They walk in the door, and of course you are. Everybody's got to run to you and hug you. You're so cute and sweet.
Kind and lovable.
Lovely.
But, you know, I try to make the point I get to hug everybody.
Right.
You know, not that's big a deal, and it hugs you. That's not the big deal. But to reach out, you know, that so that it doesn't.
A loving thing to do.
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we have a loving congregation.
We do.
But you know,
we have a very loving congregation, and it's a wonderful. It is definitely where I belong.
Amen. Me too.
Because I can take all the love I can
We're
get.
Well, but the point is, really, Nathan, all this is being true. There are times that people walk through our doors that are very hurting, and they may be some that they take offense easily, or they may be some that are kind of. Not nice, you know, they've got attitudes and whatever. And Paul is saying here in Ephesians 5, learn how to behave better, learn how to control your tongue, learn how to not gossip, learn how to put your life in proper priorities. And then he goes on in Ephesians 5 and says, learn how to praise God. And that's going to change your behavior. And
it would definitely change you.
Oh, talk to me about this, guys. Talk to me about this, Nan.
You know, I mean, all I can say is just there's power in praise.
There is.
There's power in praise, you know.
How does it change your attitude, though?
It gets my attitude more in line with God.
Okay.
You know, as I praise him, maybe the method in which I was looking at a situation, the magnitude, size of the situation seems to diminish when I praise God.
Right.
And I think that's just his way of bringing us down to a calm nature so that we're not, you know, just so stressed out about it all the time, you know,
put things in proper perspective,
you know, like the stuff that was brought against me and, you know, the one you and I have talked about it at different times, but, you know, it just put it all in perspective.
Right.
You know, well, he's just an ex-husband who's just trying to make me look bad and. God's in control.
Right.
God was in
control.
And you
won. I mean,
I won.
But you did because, and I believe.
Praise.
Praise.
Praise. I mean, if anyone wants to enlist that, I mean, I would encourage them to do that. It was powerful. Be careful who you ask. I only ask people who were very strong in the Lord, not just people who might have been a friend of mine and not that strong in the Lord, but people who were strong in the Lord. And I even gave them updates of what was going on as each new thing would happen.
I'm
I'd
sure
type
you
a little
did.
Thing. I had a few poems in there that
I'm
I ran across
sure
about two or three months
did.
Ago.
And poems.
Every time you gave the devil a black eye, you had to tell somebody, right?
Exactly. But you know, there again, what you know, like he just said, it does give the devil a black eye when we do that.
Right.
You know, and it kind of confuses him because he's like, now what do I do? She's praising God in the midst of what I'm doing here. Now what direction do I go? It kind of confuses him a little bit.
It confuses him. It gets work done. Absolutely. It also brings strength to us. Mm-hmm. Nathan, you and I right now, because of the intensity of this morning service and the ministry that was going on, and I did not have my waterproof mascara on, and that was a problem. And but I will come next week. I will come next week for my son's wedding. Believe me, it will be waterproof mascara. But anyway, the intensity of that, then going to the nursing home, and the intensity there today was just powerful move of God there. And then come here to the show straight without having time to even eat or anything. But that's okay. I mean, we've got it set up that way, and that's the way it is. But Nathan, you and I, and Nan too, we can all attest to the fact that as we praise God, even that song we just played, as we are entering into his presence and praise, I don't know about y'all, but I could have another service right now. Mm-hmm. I am energized and I'm pumped And I want to get these truths out to people. And I don't feel like sitting here going, oh, what time is it? What time are we going to be done? I'm excited to be doing this. You know what I'm saying?
You want everyone. I want everybody to feel the way I feel right now.
Amen, brother.
I want everybody listening to feel the way I feel right now. If you don't feel the way I feel right now, just start praising God.
Exactly.
Just start praising Him right where you are. Whatever situation you find yourself in, you know, don't be under any certain circumstances. Just start praising God and have Him lift you up.
And He does.
I guarantee He will lift you up if you sincerely praise Him with your whole heart.
Oh.
Just praise Him.
I totally agree. And so when Paul says in Ephesians 5, here's what you got to do about all this stuff. Sing hymns, praise God, spiritual songs. Spiritual songs can be the times that we just start singing in the spirit and God just writes a song like He did today through you. I want to go to Psalm 149 and 150 a moment here before we play the next song, which is just going to absolutely thrill your heart too. I mean, yeah. Connie, what a group of songs today. Wow.
Connie is blessed in that.
She just knows. She hears God. Psalm 149. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. And it may be a new song for some of you out there to even sing praises to God at all. Maybe that's just like, wow, what a crazy idea. But it really, really works. Sing to the Lord a new song, His praise in the assembly of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. We're Israel now. We're engrafted in. Let the people of Zion be glad in their king. Let them praise His name with dancing. Wow, Pastor Jim did that today, and that was so cute. And make music to Him with tambourine, which Pastor Jim all the time has tambourine in his hand, and a harp, which we don't have a harp, but we sure have a great Yamaha piano. For the Lord takes delight in His people. He crowns the humble with salvation. Let the saints rejoice in this honor and sing for joy on their beds. May the praise of God be in their mouths. This we declare over you, listening audience. May the praise of God be in your mouth and a double-edged sword in your hand. And what that's talking about is fighting the enemy with the word of God. And as you begin to praise God, then the word comes out from you because it just has to. We overcome by the word of our mouths and the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. And, oh, what this does, and I could teach on this, but verse 7 is Psalm 149, to inflict vengeance on the nations, punishment. What this is talking about on evil. And we bind their kings, which is the kings of doubt and worry and fear and sickness and infirmity and disease and guilt. And we do all this. This is done by the praise of God's people. Whoa, when you're up against a struggle, what happens, Nathan? There's so many times we're up against a struggle.
Praise the Lord.
We got to learn to praise the Lord.
Because, I mean, then the struggle becomes a delight.
Amen. Amen.
You know, something that I'm learning, too. I'm learning to thank God for the struggles.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
Not for the struggles.
Yes.
Because without a problem, you don't know that God just solved them.
That's right.
You know, without an impossibility, you don't know what a miracle is.
That's right.
You know, you don't know.
You don't know.
You know, and God shows up mighty.
Amen.
When we're in distress.
Amen.
And we start praising Him. He shows up mighty and He shows up strong.
Amen. You're right. The answer for the problems that we face, and we all face things, and this week I faced a very difficult trial. My granddaughter is pregnant with identical twin babies, and I know some of you are going, how can that be that I can't be that old? But
yeah,
I don't know.
That's
I mean,
what we're still saying.
We're all still saying that. But anyway, she is pregnant with identical twin baby girls, and this week she's 23 weeks along this past week, and went into premature labor, and it did not look good at all for about 10 hours. It was very, very touch and go what was going to happen. And we knew if the babies were born at that time that they probably would not survive or they would have very, very huge problems. And I'll tell you what, as each text came to me from my son or my daughter-in-law or whatever was going on, as the texts were coming, as the phone calls were coming. I mean, I got to a point when it was so bad on Tuesday afternoon that it looked like she was about to deliver that I had nothing to, there was nothing I could do, Nathan, but just praise God in the midst of the storm. And that within about 30 minutes, and I'm not saying it was just me. It was a lot of people praying and praising and believing God for a miracle. It totally turned around. And she is home, and she's on bed rest, but we are believing God for the safe delivery of my little great-grandbabies in a few weeks. And I thank God because this works, Nathan and Nan. This is not just some pep talk that we're giving today. And the radio show went a different direction than I planned. But people, you need to hear it. You need to begin to praise God in the midst of your storm.
No matter what the difficulty, no matter what it is.
No matter how it looks.
No, because God already knows. God is the answer. God has the answer.
He has the answer.
He has the answer to whatever the situation is.
Yes.
Whatever it is.
Right.
He has the answer. And he's waiting to release it to you.
Amen. And as we praise him for who he is and how wonderful he is, things happen, don't they, Nathan? I mean, that circumstance Tuesday afternoon totally turned around in about 30, 40 minutes when it looked the worst. So we've got to play this song. I asked Connie to put this on by the Imperials. It's a song that I remember clear back when I was in high school. I got to tell you, this is an old song. Praise the Lord. And it starts out when you're up against a struggle that shatters all your dreams. Some of you may feel that way right now. And your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested schemes.
He's the thief. He's the one.
He's the one. And what's the next line, Nathan? By Satan's manifested schemes. And you feel the urge within you.
Urge within you to submit to earthly fear.
Yes.
Don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear.
Praise the Lord. Here we go.
When you're up against a struggle that shatters all your dreams, and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested scheme, and you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fears, don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. Himself, we're children of the King. So lift up the mighty shield of faith, for the battle must be won. We know that Jesus Christ is risen, so the work's already done.
Those chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they drop power. powerless behind you.
Woo! Yes.
Wow.
I like that choir.
You like that? Wow. Well, those chains that seem to bind you.
Seem to.
Because, you know, so often, I love the wording in that song, because so often it's really not as bad as you think.
That's true.
The devil just twists our minds up into, we believe the worst case scenario, generally speaking.
Yeah, he puts things behind magnifying glasses.
Right. Yes, he does. And when those chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they drop
powerless
behind you when you praise him. Wow. Psalm 150, the book of Psalms closes with this psalm. Praise the Lord. I mean, they close with this psalm. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with the tambourine and the dancing. Praise him with the strings and the flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My little dog, Zoe.
We haven't heard about Zoe lately. Is Zoe doing okay?
Zoe Grace is great.
Okay.
And she's a dachshund. And she sings the Hallelujah Chorus with me, you know, around the house from time to time. She does. Nathan, you know you've heard her. And you have heard her. And I tell you, when I start singing in the spirit and praising God, and this happened Tuesday when it was all coming down so hard, and I'm praising God, and I am singing at the top of my lungs and praising God, Zoe is singing with me. And I'm thinking, Jesus must be laughing right now, because this cute little brown dachshund is sitting there raising her head and howling praises to God. Woo! Is that cool or what?
That's cool.
And she's got a big voice.
Boy, doesn't she? She is a loud praiser. You know, let everything, I thought of it when I read that verse, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. It doesn't say just people.
No, it doesn't.
It's also dogs, D-O-G, spelled backwards as God.
There you go.
And so it's also people and animals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're up against a struggle that shatters all your dreams, people, instead of waiting for a week and a half or a month and a half or till you hear that perfect sermon that's going to ignite you, start praising God. The devil does not want you to, Nan. Why does the devil not want you praising God? I mean, we've been making this point, but go back over it.
He knows the power that comes from praising
him. Yeah.
And he knows how it changes us when we praise him. And he doesn't want us to change. He wants us to stay beaten down and downtrodden and woe is me and this is bad. Not to minimize it. People's issues are not real. They are real and they're challenging. But when we praise him, he manages to move in those situations and he keeps us calm. Keeps us peaceful. And that's what Satan, you know, peace versus chaos is one of the things you wrote on the board this morning. And he doesn't want us to be in peace. He wants us to be in chaos.
The devil wants us
to be
in chaos.
Of course. I'm sorry. Yes, the devil. Yes.
But the God wants us to be in peace.
Yes.
Peace.
Yes.
Absolutely. We're going to pray for some of you out there right now. And then I'm going to come back to Nathan and Nan for comments in just a moment. Dear Heavenly Father, you know the needs in our audience. Those that are listening live right now and those that will hear this show at a later time on our website. Lord, you know the needs. You know who listens and you know what they're going through. We don't begin to know any of that. And it's not our job to know that. Our job is to just get on here in the air and present what you give us to present in such a way that people hear it and receive it. And so, Lord, we pray for our listening audience. We ask, mighty God, that you would touch their hearts right now and cause them to realize that life is short, that we need to make the most of each opportunity we have. And when the trials and the problems come our way, that these are opportunities for us to get closer to God, to draw close to you. Like your word says, draw close to God and he will draw close to you. These problems, these things that happen in our lives are opportunities for us to learn about your greatness, to draw close to you and let you put your arms of love around us and hold us tightly. And so, Lord, I ask you right now that you do that very thing for those in our audience that are listening. And, Lord, that you would cause them to realize how very much you love them, that your love is extravagant, that it is amazing, that it is more than our minds can comprehend how much you love us. Lord, let them receive healing for those who need healing today in their physical bodies. Let their bodies be healed. For that one that's struggling with arthritis pain in your body, especially in your hands, in your elbows, right now, in your knees, receive the healing power of Almighty God working in your body. For those that are having a hard time hearing, Lord, we ask that you just touch their hearing right now. For those that have stomach distress, for those that have been diagnosed recently with cancer, Lord, we ask right now in the name of Jesus that you would reach out and heal these physical bodies. For those that need emotional healing, touch them, Lord, right now by your power of your Holy Spirit. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. Because we know that you're an awesome, wonderful, almighty God. And we can't thank you enough. We praise your name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Final words there, Nan. And Cedric, let's go back to that last song, Praise the Lord, and just play it a little under so that Nathan and Nan can talk over it. But I want our audience to hear that again. Go ahead. Go ahead, Nan.
Well, actually, final words is something that the Lord gave me for somebody out there.
Oh, good.
I don't know if it's live or later on. God knows. Do not fear. Praise me. I am with you. I will give you direction as to what you're to do. Praise me. I will continue to uphold you with my strength that never fails. I see the legal mess you're in, not by your own fault. I know that. I see what has been done to you. Praise me. I will turn things into a story of deliverance. You will make it. I am with you. Praise me. Praise me. I love you, your Heavenly Father.
Oh my. You know what? I'm going to ask you to read that again in just a minute. Let's go on with this song a minute before we get back to this again, this word, because somebody needs to hear this. God is saying somebody needs to hear this song one more time, and then Nathan, I'll come to you in a minute. Yeah, just crank it up and let's play it.
Now Satan is a liar, and he wants to make us think that we are paupers when he knows himself we're children of the King. So lift up the mighty shield of faith, for the battle must be won. We know that Jesus Christ is risen. Woo! So the work's yes. Already done. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
He can work through those who praise him. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. God, praise God.
God. Hallelujah.
Woo! Gonna have Nan read that word for somebody again right now. And cue that back up at the end. We're gonna go back to that one in a minute. Go ahead, Nan, and then we'll go to Nathan.
Do not fear. Praise me. I am with you. I will give you direction as to what you're to do. Praise me. I will continue to uphold you with my strength that never fails. I see the legal mess you're in, not by your own fault. I know that. I see what has been done to you. Praise me. I will turn things into a story of deliverance. You will make it. I am with you. Praise me. Praise me. I love you, your Heavenly Father. I just want to encourage, and that's why I shared earlier the legal stuff that I face. I don't normally go around sharing that stuff.
Right.
because if people don't know you, they're like, you know, I was innocent and all the things, and it kept being thrown up. But if there's someone who's, and I believe there are at least one person that this is reaching out to.
Definitely.
If they want any kind of just moral support or things like that, I'll be happy to do that for them.
Just write to my email, pastor at bohmglobal.com.
Exactly.
Yeah. Praise God. Thank you for sharing that word. Nathan.
That word was so precious.
Yes.
And I know it was precious to a number of people.
Right.
That were listening today.
Yes, I agree. I feel that way too.
People that will be listening in the future.
Yeah.
That word is so precious because it's going to speak directly to their heart concerning an instance, concerning something that's going on in their lives right now.
Right.
And I just praise God that He can use people to minister to people.
Amen.
You know, and that He can use us even in this capacity. You know, we're not face to face with anyone. You know,
right?
But yet, that word can come off as face to face.
That's right. Praise God. Amen.
Because I mean, it's so direct.
Yes,
it's so direct, and it's so full of purpose.
Amen.
And it's so full of God's love.
Yes. Praise God.
Oh, and you know that's an important message. God loves you.
Amen.
So very much.
You know, and we, the three of us, have experienced God's love in our lives, and we want everybody else to feel the same way.
Same love.
And yes, thank you, Nathan. What a joy you are. Keyboard player, wonderful minister of music, all that you do. Nan, you're just great on the radio a lot, and you're just, you do so much. And we just appreciate you both and our whole radio team and our listeners. This, you know, it's powerful when we have a show like this, and so many of our shows are like this, full of the anointing of God. It's rare that they're not, but it's just amazing to see what God's going to do. We welcome you to a Sunday morning service of Beacon of Hope, and if you're in the Tampa Bay area, 10:30 on Almerton Road, look at our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. I didn't even mention our prayer ministry. If you have any prayer requests, send them to prayers@bohmglobal.com. And they will be prayed for. Our prayer team is amazing. And you can be a part of that prayer team by writing an email and say, put me on the prayer team, prayers@bohmglobal.com. And we just invite you to Wednesday night Bible study at 7, Sunday morning at 10:30. And every Sunday we are live right here. We're in our 7th year. That's amazing to me. Yes, 7th year on the air. And so we welcome you every Sunday at 3 o'clock Tampa time. We are going back to that song, and we're going to close out with that song today. It's been Pastor Marcia McAllister, Nan, and Nathan, and a great time together. God bless you each. Tune in again next week. Here we go. Crank her up, Cedric. Here we go. Praise the Lord.
Cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested scheme, and you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fears. Don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. That we are paupers, when he knows himself, we're children of the King. So lift up the mighty shield of faith, for the battle must be won. We know that Jesus Christ is risen.